Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello, creepies. Welcome to episode number 84. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What is going on, guys?
Nothing too much, and darn right we are.
Darn right.
Written tootin'.
Yeah. All the above.
Yeah, we are middle-aged and creeped out, aren't we?
Yes.
That's good, though. That's all right.
I'm trying to survive with my cold.
Nate has a cold. You want to tell the creepies why you have such cold?
I said at least you don't have a hot.
Which, yeah.
True.
Which terminology would you want me to
be
use?
Be nice about it.
The appropriate. Oh, okay.
You can explain why, but
off-air conversation.
Right.
I went to Washington, D.C. with my youngest boy, Dane, and his classmates, and it was a fantastic trip. But when you are trapped in a bus for 2 12-hour stints of travel with 40 other little kids, one gets sick very easily you are exhausted.
A microcosm of germs.
What do we call them? Snot nose.
Snot-nosed kids.
That's still the nice way to put
that
it.
That is nice. Yeah. And it's true. Hey, you're not still saying anything that's not true. They were snot-nosed and they were kids.
They were snotty-nosed. And I was sitting there and they're blowing their nose behind us and I'm just like, oh man, I'm going to be sick.
Let's point something out though. Is he still here? Is he still doing his job? He is my hero.
I'd be home
this
in
is
bed.
Why, yep. he's the rock, man.
Nate's like, son of a gun, these two guys.
They can't.
I got to teach them the board.
It's just knobs, guys. Come on.
It's just knobs and switches.
Turn them. All you do is turn them every once in a while.
And where else did you go?
Gettysburg.
Gettysburg.
That was awesome.
We were just looking at pictures.
If you've never been to Gettysburg or Washington, D.C., do yourself a favor and do it.
Yeah.
It's awesome experience.
Yeah.
Did you see any ghosts? That's what we need to know.
No.
It's a negative.
Did you protect any people from thinking that they were going to see ghosts?
Yes, I had to remind many folks that we are not having any demonic problems. So don't get too scared.
So you had some teachers and kids
a little freaked out. Freaked out on the ghost tour.
And you were the big guy with all the flashlights, right?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't have any flashlights.
That's funny.
That is a great story.
I don't believe it.
It was funny. It was a good time. And to their defense, it was better than what they thought. They thought that the ghost tour would be sort of hokey, but they really enjoyed it. It was like, man, this is awesome. That's cool.
I would imagine the one I did in Savannah was top-notch, and I would imagine Gettysburg knows how to do a ghost tour.
This was at Alexandria, his little town south of Washington, D.C.
Oh, gotcha. It wasn't at Gettysburg.
No, it wasn't at Gettysburg.
That's right. Alexandria.
And it was cool. They
forgot about that.
The guides, they wore period clothing. And they had little lanterns and...
Not question marks.
So they had the lights, just not flashlights.
Yeah.
Okay.
One candle watt.
One candle watt, right.
To make it spooky, right?
And well, that's cool.
And it's a really cool little town, too. I mean, it's just that old colonial, brick streets and houses right
next
to each
other. That does sound like Savannah. They've got brick.
Yeah.
Yep.
We talked about really neat. The cool thing is that we'll use your information to do like some good minis. Right?
Yeah, we'll do some research on the areas he visited, and then we'll hit the ghost stories with Nate's tour. And yeah, I'm glad you went. I bet Dane had a good time. And
oh, he had a blast.
Yeah, and did he get sick? I know you said
he's
wiped out.
Sick too. Knocked him for a whirl worse than me.
Gosh, yeah. Well, we appreciate you. Being the strong one, showing up.
He's the rock.
He is the rock. Neat pictures. What you got there?
Showing me how far it is from D.C. to Alexandria.
Oh, yeah. I am curious about that. What is the...
Alexandria's here.
Pretty much straight south, yeah.
Okay.
It's on the river.
Okay.
With it.
Yeah. Yeah. What would that be, like, hour-wise? Like
it wasn't even an hour. It was like maybe... 20 minutes.
Oh, 20 minutes. Okay, yeah. I thought maybe. I couldn't tell. Very close. Very okay.
Yeah, very close.
Easy. All right. Cool.
It'd be like driving from the north side of Indy to downtown.
Gotcha. So Nate had an exciting, you know, fall break doing all that. Sean, you have anything exciting?
Heck no. No. Jenna had a, well, I don't know if she wants me to tell this, but I'm going to do it anyway. She had a colonoscopy.
She's fun.
Middle-aged too, right?
That's what happens, man.
This is her second one. I think I've talked about the other
can't
one.
Can't leave until you fart.
She said, yeah. Don't give all the secrets away. She did look at me and she said, you're next, buddy. And I'm like, yeah, in a couple years I am.
So when I did mine last year, I was 50, and they said that's when, because they said it used to be like 40s. Mm-hmm. They're like 50 really now. And then they said now, and then if you are okay, unless you have a, which I do have a history. In
yeah,
it,
she does
but,
too. Yeah.
But, if there's an issue or something, I won't have to go until I'm 60.
That's good.
So I'm
really
I'm like,
good.
Cool. Okay, I've got 9 more, well, 8.5. But yeah, it's you know what? So one of my coworkers, it's one of our volunteers at the church. His wife had a colonoscopy, and now they're in their 60s. Mm-hmm. And I said, man, I'm telling you right now, I said, the colonoscopy is easy. I said, there is nothing to it. Like, you don't, you know, I mean, they put you under. You're like, I remember the guy, I think I told the story when the guy, the doctor goes, so what are you going to eat? What are you going to do when you wake up and, you know, get home? I'm like, oh, man, I'm, you know, I'm eating in hours. And I said, oh, I love chicken. I'm a big sweet tea drinker. And the doctor goes, oh, he goes, I have a brewery down in my basement. He goes, I brew my own tea. I go, are you serious? He goes, yeah. That's the last thing I mean, you're seriously, that's how I'm talking. I'm going, oh, that's, and then the next thing I know, he goes, hey, everything went okay. Good job. You're all right. I go, I was just talking to you about sweet tea and boom.
Yep.
But the prep, awful.
Awful. Yeah.
It is awful.
We were first appointment of the day. So that was, just, it was at 6, which they got us started pretty much around 6.
Mine was like 9:30.
But we had to be there at 5:30 and there was nobody,
yeah.
Nobody there. The thing, like even the... the metal
you checked yourselves in and
yeah right. She goes, why do we have to be here at 5:30? And I was like, oh, at least man. We're here, it's okay. I mean, but I'm telling you, that's the way to go. First in the morning,
yeah,
they get you going.
Yeah, I had my appointment was 9:30. I had to be there at 8, and then that's checking in, and then, you know, going back in there, getting in the bed or the whatever, and then in the waiting room. And we're all, I mean, literally it's like a assembly line. We're all, here's
you
all
hear
these beds
the
of
same
all
thing
yes,
in the next
yes,
curtain
yeah.
over. Yeah.
Hey, did oh, you know? Oh, yeah, you're next. It's like next. There we go.
Well, it's funny because they start asking questions, and she, you know, you start to think, oh, it's a doctor's visit. No, it's not.
No,
they just
no.
nope. They're like, okay,
it's not aliens probing us. Wake it's our own.
Yeah, he's like. Kind of, he didn't say it out loud, but you could say see him like make a doctor's appointment if you want to talk like deep about how you're feeling.
Yeah, like, yeah. No, the colonoscopy is nothing.
We're just here for a rotor and we're done. Yeah.
Night of a thousand waterfalls.
Oh,
it's rough, dude. It's rough.
She's gonna love that. A first part of
and
our
I'm gonna
conversation.
Say, I'm gonna
about
say
colonoscopy.
Yeah, I'm gonna say what? Where else other than a middle-aged podcast
well,
are you going to hear colonoscopy stories?
Just see. The facts here, folks.
That's
in,
right.
In just all these the months, right, and just under 2 years, we have talked. We talk about our aches and pains. We talk about our chiropractor. We talk about the weather. And by God, we've gotten to colonoscopies.
Darn right. Right. Hey.
I feel like we're complete now.
Yeah. Well, once you're done, you can always put it behind you. And
oh.
Well, I'm glad.
Chris Splash.
Yeah. But no, but other than that, you worked, right?
I worked. We did go hiking on Sunday, where
yeah.
the last day. We went turkey run, climb ladders.
I've never been there except that's where when I was in high school, we picked up, we bought our, or adopted our second puppy.
In that area.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's
but
over where we're going
there.
In a few. We're going over to Rockville, so it's over in that area,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
We almost
it was actually Marshall, Indiana, but we went through
yeah,
Turkey. Yeah.
Through there.
Yeah.
We're going. We almost went to Shades, too, but
oh, yeah,
the
yeah.
kids were. We just decided to stay longer at Turkey Run, basically. Mm-hmm. And we were going. Jenna, we're two different people. I'm just telling that. She is the, I'm the tortoise. She's the hare. And so she's there. To do exercise. She is there to get from point A to point B and C and D and whatever else. And I'm picking up rocks and I'm looking at the trees. And I'm the spiritual nature guy,
yeah,
you know, like, oh, look, kids,
that.
How beautiful. Right. Yeah. Let's stop and just enjoy the moment. Well, and then that's fine.
And either one.
And we
fine.
Both got away. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's your thing. Yeah.
However, Jenna was like rocking and rolling and we're going down right into the, what, punch, it's called the
punch bowl.
Punch bowl,
yeah.
Right. And it really is. And there was a snake pretty good sized snake.
Oh.
And she's, okay. She goes, oh my God. And she comes back to me and she's like, oh, honey, there's a snake. And I was like, oh, it's probably not. It's probably just a branch hanging down there. And she's like, and the guy goes, nope, it's a snake. And he told her, he's like watch out for that snake, lady, you know. And she, otherwise, she would have put her hand right on that darn snake. And I said, this is why.
Yikes.
You take your time. you go like gangbusters.
You use that as a lesson, right?
I did. Yes.
Funny. Well, that's good, yeah.
Master Sean. Yeah, right.
We did all kinds of fun stuff, like, you know, well, and then there was that. And then there's, see, what else did we do? Well, we did this. Which is nothing.
A whole lot of nothing.
The kids were off, and then Amy was off for 2 weeks.
This were the kids in a good mood? Mm-hmm. Amy's good. Yeah. So that's, did you get some R&R, Andy?
Well, no, I mean, my schedule's the same.
Yeah,
I work all day, then work all night.
I know. That's how I, yep. Work all day, work all night.
Yeah.
Never fuss.
The kids went back this week, and then Amy's, like I said, she had Avon school system has 2 weeks off. So.
Ooh, nice.
I know. Huh.
She had
a training day today, but she was in her and somebody else were doing the training.
Everybody thought our kids had 2 weeks off too, and then we're like,
nope, 1 week.
Nope, that's not how it works.
And when I was in school, we just got Thursday and Friday off.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I remember, so yeah. I'm like, hey, take the 1 week, kids.
Right?
Yeah.
No, but we didn't do anything either. Just, yeah. We never do take the fall break. Like,
I did get zero sleep though, because it was like the summer schedule. Mm-hmm. The kids wanted to stay up. They were loud. They wanted people to spend the night. We had
that few of those.
More kids than we had kids spend the night. And it was like, so, yeah, which was fine.
That's fun.
It
stuff.
Was just a week. So,
no, yeah. I mean, it's, this Friday we're going to go to a haunted house. So mm-hmm. We're going to finally do the step it up, kids. They're a little older. Let's get to where the people are jumping out at you and
yeah.
That type of thing. So that'll be a fun way to end, yeah,
yeah.
End the week. But they might take a couple friends. So
my bad. Nate found the mic.
don't let him knock himself out, because again, Nate, wake up. We can't do. What do I press?
I got a hard head.
And we are glad the Creepies are with us. I hope they had a good fall break if
yes.
They had one
or having it now.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Man, episode 84. So we are ever creeping up to the full 100, right?
Yes.
Sean.
Yes.
I was listening. I was like, wait a minute. I was listening. That was your.
You heard dishes.
Yeah, I was
being
like,
moved around, and you're thinking food. That's what I'm thinking too.
Right. Like,
food.
You think, like, there's extra?
I was like, what's that?
It's Rachel.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute. What is that? Sean, you know, why don't you tell the Creepies?
I think I will.
The first announcement.
First part of the announcements. It's a piece of cake. We're here building the community, right? This is what we do. We have fun. We have guy time. We love this. This is so good. I even said this earlier to the guys. I'm like, this is something that we all need. We just do. We love it. So, but the main thing that we want to impress upon you is that we're here building a community for mental health. So the easiest way to get help is that you can call or text for a crisis. When you need assistance is 988. It's pretty easy.
Yeah.
Or you can visit stopbullying.gov for another way to get help with bullying.
Mm-hmm.
And I accentuated
that. Yeah, very good.
Still.
That was, you know, having a week off, I was wondering, is he going to say bullying?
He's going to fall off the wagon and roll down the hill and splash in the stream.
No, I had full confidence. I had full confidence.
I knew you did.
I didn't. But my point is, no, thank you for that. Yeah, 988. And yeah, that's, I like they made it.
Easy peasy, pumpy, squeezy, right?
I've heard that before.
You have.
Thank you for that.
You taught it to me, actually.
Did I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So now we are to the most important part of the show.
What? I was going to say with sign language.
Did you miss this guy? I didn't.
I bet you did.
Man.
I thought you were going to look down. You were going to see
just
that.
I saw a flock of birds in the house.
If I want to be treated like that, I'll stay home.
What is it in England like this? No.
You settle down over there.
B for Victor now.
Man, can you tell guys that we had a break?
It's pent up, I admit.
We're back. Okay. Hey, I've got my dad joke of the show.
Oh, my gosh.
I have a few.
Your bad dad joke?
You have a few?
Yeah.
he said
Nate?
I mean, like bad, like bad to the bone, cool.
Badness.
Bad.
Hipster.
I know what you mean. Well, you're in luck. I've got two jokes for you.
Oh.
I'm doing two. Yeah. Too bad.
Just for that.
All right. First one. What do you call it when a demon loses all its money?
Broke.
Yeah, it makes sense. Sean, any idea what you call it when a demon loses all its money?
I don't know.
He is demonetized.
Oh, that would
demonetized.
Nope, I would have needed a little bit of time for that one.
Yeah, and then here's the second one. Boy, do I have a great one, though, for our Halloween special.
Do you?
Oh, boy.
You're going all out.
I'm saving this one. How can you tell when vampires are sick? They were always coughing. They are always coughing.
Man.
Yeah.
You can
what do you think, Nate?
You almost hear the people.
Definitely something I can sink my teeth into.
Wait a minute. Hey, I'm doing the dad jokes.
That's a wrap.
And that's a wrap. Thanks for joining us for episode 84. Yeah.
I have something to follow that, and this is from William and Jenna. Before we went on our hike Saturday, William, Jenna, and I went and just in a local, actually it was in Mooresville, just this little nature park, and we were walking around, and I had worked on Saturday. And they said that they had gone out for Chinese and they had this, had a good afternoon together. And they said they had this question for me. And I thought, oh, this is going to be great. See, I thought it was going to border on like philosophical. But it was more of a brain teaser. And then it ended up being like humor corner. And the question from William and Jenna that they said that they had talked about was, if a turtle lost its shell, would you consider him naked or homeless?
Dead.
Dead, right? He wouldn't live long.
He'd be dead and naked and homeless.
Dead naked. So you got three answers.
Yeah. His spine is fused to a shell. So.
Turtle expert over here.
Yeah.
But I was ninja turtle that no. I think both. And now all three, dead, naked, and homeless.
Mm-hmm. Right. And broke.
There's no answer.
Baroque.
That's just what we.
But I was like, this is the kind of question that I actually liked it. It was better than some they could ask.
I think that's a turtle of
a turtle. Turtle.
Turtle. That's my dad joke of the show.
Followed by whatever that was.
Okay. I was pretty proud of those, by the way. But yeah. Boy, wait till I've got some good ones. I'll do like three of them for next week's the Halloween special coming up, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Okay. We do have some shout outs.
Yes.
Let's give a shout out to Mr. Dave Domi.
Yes.
Is that how you pronounce his last name?
I think so. Dave.
I want to make sure, yeah. Dave, I'm pronouncing your name correctly. If I am not, blame it on Sean.
Right.
Dave is a fairly new listener he's been listening, but yes. He's just joined our group. Facebook. That's what I meant to say.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fine. Yep.
He's posted a couple of videos. Mm-hmm. Very nice. Sean gave an autograph.
I did.
He gave an autograph.
This was very special to me too, because I thought, I'm not just going to take a piece of paper out and say, hey, thanks for listening, and be all pompous. I thought, I got to give him something like serious, like something that means something to me. So I have my whole folder of old notes. I have show notes the entire time we've been doing this. And I always think, like, what am I going to do with these? But they're just fun to still have. I bring them to every single recording here. And so I pulled out the one that was from our Halloween show a year ago.
Oh.
And I had put on the back, hey, creepies. Remember when I held it up and you're like, they can't see that.
Right.
So I had personalized it. So I wrote a little note to him and then I put on the back and I wrote a little ghost and a little smiley face and everything.
Nice.
And I signed it. And so I thanked him. So he appreciated that. But he got that. He told us on his video that he got lost a friend.
Yeah. Yeah. Cancer.
To cancer. And so that letter came this in time. And I also put a little card in there for him. And so I think that meant a lot to him. So we just appreciate him. I mean, he was very sweet. I was very humbled that, because I was, I even said, like, you sure you don't want Todd's autograph?
Did you hear what he said on the second video?
He talked about being a Red Sox fan.
No, he said he knew that I'm the one that wants to sign an autograph.
But he said that you both are Sox fans, yeah, and that he did acknowledge that.
Yeah.
So that's why, and he was like,
go
no,
Sox, they'll be better
he
next
said,
year.
No,
Dave.
I did want your autograph. I was shocked as anybody, but I really do appreciate that. That was
that's cool.
Very
humbling. Very, very nice. Yeah. Thanks, Dave, for following us and listening and all the kind words you said about our group and our podcast.
And
so we appreciate you.
We talk about wondering, like, I wonder how many people this touches. And I wonder how many people like think about our middle-aged moments and these, the mental health part that the community we're building. And that to me was like, I told the guy, I sent the guys a message and I said, we're doing great work. And we're doing great work, and that's how that's so important to all.
Yeah, I hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we just hope. So thanks, Dave. We wanted to give you a shout out, sir. Go Red Sox. This gentleman is a young guy, and it started out not as a joke, but it's we joke about it, but it, I think on the last episode, gosh, when we miss a week, I'm like, how long ago was that? Like, I
you
get
and
all
your, you know, all your food friends.
Yeah. And you know, and, but what it is, is really giving shout outs to these people that I appreciate what they're doing. Most of them are younger. I mean, they're, you know, young and they're at work, they're busting their hump and they give good services. So it's fun to, obviously I'm handing out a business card to promote our show, but yet it's, and I'll say, what's your name? I can't do it every single time because sometimes they're in a hurry and a rush. And I was the only car in the drive-thru at that time. Mm-hmm. This dude was so nice. Young guy, great, you know, customer service and just, talkative, you know, very, welcoming, right?
Yeah.
So he works at the Plainfield Burger King. I know I've given some shout outs in the past, and they've got a good crew. Nick, there's nothing different about this guy from the other nice people. They just have something going on.
Yeah.
They've got some good people. But
it's
Nick,
in the water, right?
I guess. He did a great job, and I asked him if he, you know, like podcasts and creepy stuff, and he said he'd check it out. I said, well, Nick, I said, I'm going to give you a shout out. I said, if you listen to the latest. I said, the next episode, which we will record and drop Wednesday, uh-huh. which is tonight, I said, you'll hear your name. He was so excited. He thought that was great.
Yeah, that's cool.
And so, Nick, I appreciate you. We appreciate you. Thanks for being professional, and you seem very nice, and you did your job very well. So,
we
shout
do.
Out
this,
to Nick.
This is a great opportunity to say, Nick, hook us up with some free food.
Well, Nick, I've you're been be... advertising Burger King for months now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You should just pull up there and be like, here's your usual.
There's Todd.
Here's some for Nate and Sean.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you know. I don't know. A couple junior whoppers at least, right?
They might be scraps off the floor, but they'll probably just not.
We're not choosy. We're not picky.
We'll eat it.
Yeah, so shout out to Nick. And then this is even more important. Kind of goes back to what your announcements were right. about. We want to give out, but anyone who struggles with mental health issues, whatever level they're at, whatever you're struggling with, we all deal with our own certain specific things that depress us, makes us anxious, stresses us out. So, and there's, in this day and age, there's a million things that get to you and get you down. So if you're out there, keep battling. And like Jerry Hawley, our good friend from Hillbilly Horror Stories, he said, it is a battle. And that's what it is. It's a battle. I've struggled the last couple of weeks. I've had a really bad couple of weeks And so this means a lot to me and Nate and Sean to say, just hang in there. Don't give up. If you're feeling pain, you're feeling depressed, stressed, you're crying every day. You know what? At least you're feeling something.
That's right.
Start worrying when you're not.
And they're normal.
Yeah, you're not alone.
To things too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
emotions mean you're alive. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's.
Well, I told somebody. Somebody a professional said, as bad as it is, you don't want to feel bad. You don't feel depressed, right? But they're like, at least you're feeling something.
You're not
because
completely
if you, numb. There's people that you're not numb, and so that means you're still with us. You're still there. You're still able to. Deal with it,
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. I mean, it's just dealing with it, battling it. Just we love you. We hang in there. I'm hanging in there. Man, it's been bad. And so anyway,
I have to say,
shout out to you people.
A shout out to the people struggling, and then shout out to the people that help pick the people up that are struggling, because it goes both ways. Like I've been the people that help.
I have to
pick up, and I'm like you. Like I've had some rough days, weeks, months, whatever you want to call it. And it's the shining lights out there that are like, dude, just keep going. Just it's fine, and help you to pick yourself up and keep moving forward.
Yeah.
And then there's those breakthrough moments where you're like, you wake up because you think, gosh, this is never going to end. I'm going to keep going through this. When am I ever going to feel happy again? Or when am I ever going to feel like I'm doing it right or whatever in life in general? And then there's just that wake up, that breakthrough moment where you're like, okay, I got this.
Yeah.
Or the sun comes out again. Yep. It will happen again. But you got to hang in there.
There's no magic
no,
to solve it or resolve it. I mean, it might take time.
Sometimes
it might
it
not. It might.
Time.
I don't
time
know.
Tears.
It's hard. It's a weird.
Take good with the bad.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
You need an Nate hug is what you need. That cures all.
There are literally some days, like my biggest accomplishment is getting up, getting dressed, and getting in the car to go to work. That's like,
showing up.
That's
right.
The hardest part,
I hear you.
Like, I'm like, oh my gosh. Or this is a joke, but it's still, I'm trying to make a point. I got home last night late. I did the dishes to help out. My wife, Amy's in bed. The kids are in bed. The pups are in bed. Everybody. And I'm like, I'm just exhausted. And I'm like, you know what? Like I said, it's funny, but I'm going to cut my fingernails because they needed to be cut. And I'm like, I felt like I accomplished something because I'm like, I just I need to. Seriously.
Yeah. No, I get it.
It's like minute, totally everyday things, you know, or if like if the best thing you do is take the trash out. Don't think that's not a big deal because any little accomplishment, you know, it's.
I went and got a haircut. Sounds felt silly good about myself.
No, seriously, yeah.
I know it's true. I know, just taking care of yourself. I know.
Little, I was talking to somebody. I don't want to mention the name just because. I would, but anyway, we had a little talk about mental health and aging, and everybody battles it in some way. Like I said, it could be every once in a while, it could be a, oh my gosh, everyday thing, or it could be. You know, your stress and depression might be different, you know, what causes it.
Triggers,
but she kind of wanted to get like a little insight of like what, cause she knows I do, you know? And so anyway, I'm like, yeah, cause I'm open. And she knew that. So I'm open to talk to anybody about it. I don't feel like I need to hide it, you know, and I have it for a few years, but, it was nice because I was able to tell her kind of how my mind works, how it affects me, and then it kind of maybe can help her with her loved one, you know, that's kind of starting to.
My wife and I are getting better at this with each other is when we can kind of tell when we're spiraling or a trigger has hit us, both of us.
Oh, yeah.
And as, you know, Jenna has been saying to me recently, like, this, wait, you know, like, let's get you, why don't you get up and go to the gym? I know you don't feel like it, I know you're tired. Get up, you'll feel better. And darn it, she's not right. You know what I mean? She knows me. Yeah. And same thing with her. When I see her start to go down, it's like, let me take care of this. Let me do this. And try to, you know, maybe.
Yeah, what
just,
can I do?
Right.
You need to, yeah.
And that really does help. We started this connecting each other, like putting our knees together, holding our hands, and just asking each other 5 or 6 questions. How was your day? What was the best part? What was the worst part? You know, just kind of what are your plans for tomorrow? Just like connecting. And it's helping a lot.
Yeah.
Silly things like that, you know.
And don't be afraid to go to
helping
counseling.
Each other. Yeah.
Don't be afraid to share. Don't be worried about telling somebody if you're not comfortable, that's fine. But don't do it because you're thinking they're gonna be thinking you're weak or you're you know, it's because it helps me. See, I the more I tell somebody, I feel better.
Yeah.
Because number one, it's like it's cathartic and it's kinda nice to not hide it or you know, but then also
it off your chest
and then somebody
in there.
Right. Yeah. And then but maybe they have somebody or they're going through like, oh, then that gives me an opportunity to kind of help, you know.
We haven't had a good little counsel like this for a minute, so I'm glad we're doing this. The other thing is that we hope that this, like us talking about it, helps other people or to, you know, you need a hug. Hopefully this
you're not alone.
Listening to us, I know that sounds crazy, but hopefully you feel some comfort from that. Mm-hmm. You know, you get away from your problems for a minute and listen to us three knuckleheads, but also hearing like, oh my gosh, I'm not alone. I'm not crazy. I'm not an outsider. I'm not on an island.
Mental health.
There was somebody came in the gym. It's a friend of ours. I won't name names, but came up and said, you guys are doing great work. And I told him, I have to tell you, it is not about anything. And this whole thing is, of course, like we said earlier, fun and getting together. But we are out there trying to help raise awareness for people and just help everybody get out of the muck and the mire. So that to me is like everything. It truly is.
Yeah, it is. It's this podcast is great. It's fun and it's interesting to talk about fun, creepy stuff. But if we don't do the other, then that's, you know, I don't feel
wouldn't even show up.
Yeah, we're not using the platform. You know what I mean? We're not a huge show, but we're growing. So we're not the little small show we start. So I think we're reaching more people.
We're not the little engine that could anymore.
Well, we're mid-sized. We're mid everything, middle everything.
Right.
No, but I mean, I just want us to. I don't want us to ever stop this part, too.
I agree. Well, so thank you for opening up that. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah. So we love you guys, and just don't be afraid to get help or help somebody or tell somebody, whatever. You know, I'm on medication. I go, so.
Need a little help from my friends.
Uh-oh. Now he's mixed feelings.
No.
That we're talking Beatles here. So
I know
we all need.
I like the Joe Cocker version.
That's what I was thinking.
You too.
What would you do?
It's the Wonder Years, right? Uh-huh.
Now
you hit me in the feels, man. You hit me in the feels.
I like that for the first 2 or 3 years, and after that, I.
I know. You're not gonna like my middle aged moment tonight. No, I'm kidding.
Now I'm depressed.
Right? Yeah, I know.
Just kidding. So anyway, thanks for letting us go on that little. I don't call it a tangent, but, you know, a little moment of.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it's.
We all deal with it in somehow, some way. Mm-hmm. So shout out to all of us, right?
All day, every day.
Now.
That's some truth. He just hit you with a truth bomb.
Boom.
Boom. Boom.
I love it. All day, every day.
I have to say this, and I'm sorry. I know we're taking this may be a 3-hour episode.
Boy, how are you doing? Guys at work, how are you doing today? It's like, well, living the dream. Or nightmare. I'm not sure yet.
Dreaming to live. I got the biggest kick. I know people have had to listen to our last one. When you said Jean-Wayne.
I have gotten
the biggest laughs in the last week out of that. From that episode, and I've talked to at least three different people about that. Jean-Wayne. I said it just sounded like he was going by in a car, like, oh, Jean-Wayne.
Well, I didn't catch it the first time.
You didn't catch
it?
Oh, well.
Because you went Jean-Wayne.
And you were like, what did he say? I caught Jean-Wayne.
Jean-Wayne.
Oh, Nate.
So silly.
Every day, all day.
I have really thought that. I don't know. I got the biggest kick out of that.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
I'm easily entertained, but.
All right. Now, are we ready?
Ready.
I'm childish.
Well, you fit in right in. That's why we have you part of this.
With us two mature adults over here.
Let's get to it. Sean, tell our creepies what we are going to discuss.
This is your pick, so I want to do that ahead of time because I always forget.
I'm excited about this one.
Oh, my gosh. This is fantastic.
It's been on my list for a long time.
It is the Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum.
Yes, sir.
Bada bing, bada boom.
A lot of history, and it's old, and it's creepy, and it's beautiful, and it's got all kinds of stuff going on with it. So,
Do you want to do the foundation, or do you want me to?
I did my lip smack. I hate lip smacks. Oh my gosh! don't get me started on that. From
I'm sorry.
Sunday service. No, I'm not talking about us. But go ahead and give a little foundation.
I will.
Please do.
So the Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, subsequently the Weston State Hospital, was a Kirkbride psychiatric hospital that operated from 1864 until 1994. Yesteryear, right? Mm-hmm. By the government of the U.S. state of West Virginia. That sounds very official.
Oh, man.
Doesn't it? In the city of Weston, Weston State Hospital got its name in 1913, which was used while patients occupied it, but has changed back to its original commissioned, unused name, the Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum, after being reopened as a tourist attraction because it sounds so much more scary. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah. It sounds ominous,
It's very ominous.
My wife said, I go, hey, we're going to talk about the Trans Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. She goes, boy, that's a lot of words.
It's a lot of words.
I said, it is a lot of words. I said, but doesn't it sound creepy?
Sounds made up.
Mm-hmm. I thought so.
Lunatic Asylum sounds creepy enough.
Yeah.
You had me at lunatic.
Yeah. And it sounds so derogatory because and people say that, oh, you're that lunatic, or oh, you're a crazy person, you're lunatic. But that's what they were called back then.
Right.
So I know like in today's you would never call a facility, a lunatic, you know, right. A little bit, not politically correct, and I'm not the most
Looney Tunes.
Yeah, right. But that's what they called them back
yeah,
then.
That's right.
Or a lot of them did. I have two stats I want to give off the bat.
I knew you'd want to give these, so I'm not.
Okay.
Go for it. These are great. I know what you're
Well, I mean, I don't know. It might be the same or might not be. Okay, so, and I told my wife this, too. I told Amy.
So is this a stat attack?
Ooh, stat attack. Stat attack.
That's what we got to have, a stat attack.
It's been a while since I've gotten a stat. 666 square feet.
Yes.
Told you.
Not square feet.
Acres.
666 acres and 13 buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, if that's not creepy, then I don't know what is.
The first video I listened to on that had that, and I knew I did not want to bring it up because I figured you wanted to go over that.
I appreciate that. 666 really creepy. Acres, yeah.
Now, did they? I mean, surely they did that on purpose, right?
We have 665 acres, but Carl over here is wanting to sell this acre. Should we buy one more acre?
Yeah.
Yes, definitely.
Let's do it. It makes sense. It's probably a good thing. We could always use another acre, right? Isn't that crazy, though?
Like the guy we're doing the deal with, his name's Satan.
It's Satan.
His best friend, Jean Wayne.
So I told Amy that. She goes, did they do that on purpose?
I still love it.
Jean Wayne? Jean and Satan?
Jean Satan?
Maybe. Wait a minute. I think he does a clothing line for... No, never mind. So Amy goes, did they do that on purpose? I said, I don't know.
Surely. And 13 buildings, come on.
Yeah, I don't know, because why would they do? I don't know. I don't know how to answer.
It wasn't meant as a satanic temple.
Yeah, I don't think they meant to do.
Probably not. It's just we're looking into it too deep. But still, it does. It strikes you, right?
But it is creepy. Yeah. So
it's very creepy.
Yeah. So Weston, West Virginia, home of the Mountaineers.
I like that it was designed as a Gothic revival, and this calls it a Tudor revival style by a Baltimore architect, Richard Snowden Andrews. And it, and like I said, it was it took him to construct it was 1858 to 1881. So it was only originally designed to hold 250 people, and it became overcrowded in the 1950s with 2,400 patients. It forcibly closed in 1994 due to changes in patient treatment. We already know how that worked, right?
We're gonna.
So we've talked about that in other places too.
I have a couple notes. Says 26, even 2,600 was documented for even, but regardless, 2,000.
That's still a lot. Yeah,
it's overcrowding. They said they had in a lot of the rooms that a lot of the times they over the years they would have a room that was meant for literally one person. They would have like 15 people, and they just literally sat next to each other. I mean, they had no room.
Tighten up.
Yeah.
Tighten up.
And they showed a picture. I don't know. There's a ton of websites, and a picture I saw, it was from the 50s, and there was like two or three doctors, and it sat, like, one girl's kind of, she sees the camera, she's smiling, but they're just right next to each other. Like there's 15 women, it was, you know, and I'm like, how? They're just, there's no room. They're just, and they're just like, they just have their gown on. They're not, there's no shoes or socks. They're not, they just look sad.
Sterile.
Yeah.
Institutionalized, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Here's the thing. This is what's interesting about that is that those group rooms, they were called wards, by the way.
Yeah.
And we had a nurse practitioner as a guy. He still called, he would say, this patient's moving up to the ward, and he still used that term. When I started occupational therapy school and I started working, so this would have been the early 2000s. So just from, you know, and just recently in the 90s, they were still using those group rooms of 10, 12, 15 people in a room. Now, they did put curtain dividers, but they were all in this big, huge room, and they called them, like, they were ward rooms or ward beds or whatever you call them.
Yeah.
But it was still group, like, you know, and normally it was the people that didn't really know what was going on, either dementia or, you know, disease processes like Huntington's, Parkinson's, that were in stage that didn't really know what was going on, and so they could, but it's just, to me, it was like almost barbaric. You would not think of it this day and age, but, and that wasn't that long ago, but they were still, I still went and saw people that were, there's still like six people in a room. Yeah. And I go work with patients, and that was, like I said, you know, 20 years ago, I was working with these people, and I kept thinking, this seems like this should be happening in the 40s or 50s.
Yeah, right. You
know? So it wasn't that long ago.
Why are we still doing, yeah.
Right? So, and that's how you can think about the quality of the patient care. Not good.
Not good, not good.
Sorry.
Yeah. The Kirkbride you mentioned. Mm-hmm. So psychiatrist Thomas Story Kirkbride, they called it the Kirkbride method. His idea was that he thought that they should have long halls, you know, in the corridors, what do you want to call them?
Open breeze,
cross breezes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he thought that patients should be able to roam by themselves to stimulate their mental health, you know, to stimulate their mind. That to me was
the beginning of the
end. It's kind of, okay, yeah, well, I mean, that's kind of like, okay, that's nice, and that's cool, but then it's like, but, you know, that could lead to some problems, I would think, you know, like just letting them, you know, I'm not trying to sound mean, but they're in there for some reason, or at least most of them. I mean, we know how many stories that we talked about where just a little of this thing, they're thrown in there just to do away, the family does away with them, just to forget about them, and it's like, they're not really, you know, they're not crazy, or they're not, you know, but they argue with their, I don't know, you know, there's just these silly reasons they get institutionalized. So I was just like,
and this is,
man,
one of those
really
hospitals, we've talked about other ones that
overcomes that, yeah,
the family, if next, they couldn't handle them anymore,
right,
this is where they brought them, you know,
yeah,
they I think this is interesting. It says the hospital's main building is claimed to be one of the largest hand-cut stone masonry buildings in the United States and the second largest hand-cut sandstone building in the world. The only one that's larger is the one in Moscow in the Kremlin, or the Moscow Kremlin.
Oh, gosh.
And as Weston Hospital's main building, it was designated as a National Historic Landmark in 1990. Not that long ago.
There's that picture, Nate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Just to kind of a small little picture of what they're just sitting right next to each other. You know, it's
right.
They just look sad. You know, they're just sitting up with their knees up and they have no room. There's no room to move.
I know this sounds funny, but when I was going over all this stuff and looking at the pictures are amazing. You feel like you're looking at a, like if Central State here in Indy, we've talked about, and Waverly Hills, which we've talked about, and we've gone there and we would go. If those two places had a baby, I think it would turn into Trans-Allegheny lunatic. That's, I mean, because this is the big mama, right?
Yeah. Well, because Central State has
not all that these those were big too.
Many buildings, right?
And so and Waverly was one big building, but it's still like it reminds me. Looking up, I haven't been there obviously, but looking up and down these hallways and some of the pictures, it's like, my gosh, that's Waverly. And then some of the stories, it's like, that's Central State. You know, they talked about there were so many lobotomies, which we
thousands.
Thousands, they said. And so just it's heartbreaking.
Nate, did you see how they did you want to tell the creepies how they did the lobotomies back then? Did you see how the method
no,
was?
No, I haven't seen that part yet. But I was
go ahead.
I was
go
researching ahead. The how it, you know, from when it started and then mental disease was being diagnosed, you know, at a rapid pace, that it was basically spiraling out of control since it opened up. And they actually had a farm and dairy on the compound to, you know, meet the nutrition of the patients.
Yeah.
And it was originally designed to provide 300. And it took no time at all. And they, you know, they're cramming 4 to 5 in a room.
Yeah.
And it became overcrowded and patients began to suffer from malnutrition, which exacerbated their mental health issues.
Right.
Because they weren't being.
Oh, yeah. That's not going to help them.
Getting their nutrients to help with brain function.
And that's a good point.
And then,
really.
And then like 1938. It was 6 times over capacity.
Oh, gosh.
And then it was running wild. Orderlies were outnumbered, struggling to regain control. And then at its peak in 1950s, it was 2,600 patients, more than 10 times the number it intended to house.
That is ridiculous.
It's just spiraling.
Well, this
you know it's going to end
in
disaster.
This happened in a lot of those hospitals. You know,
and you know why I don't think it's just my opinion. I would imagine that, you know, more money.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, hey, you know what? Let's just cramp. They don't care about the, you know, just more money.
So many people that let's be honest, families didn't know what to do with and spouses didn't know what to do with. And, you know what I mean?
Like, and they're just, we can add a few more.
And even children and all that kind of stuff. I think it's interesting that in the history during the construction, it was interrupted by the outbreak of none other than the American Civil War in 1861. And it said, following its secession from the United States, the government of Virginia demanded the return of the hospital's unused construction funds for its defense. Before this could occur, the 7th Ohio Volunteer Infantry seized the money from a local bank, delivering it to, you know, whatever the government there. But it's just interesting how that affected, like, this was supposed to be, you know, this was up and coming and being constructed, but, you know, something historic like the Civil War affected the construction of it. So I find that interesting that it got into the political side as well, or, you know, before it could even be constructed.
Sure.
Okay, so, yeah, it says that the worst patients themselves, they weren't, you know, being able to be controlled by the orderlies, so they had been locked in cages in open spaces in an attempt to make more bedrooms available for the less worrisome patients.
Gotcha.
And then the asylum had become a training ground for the experimental lobotomies.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Walter Freeman, the famous surgeon and lobotomy advocate, opened up his shop. In the course of his lifetime, Freeman performed some 4,000 lobotomies, leaving sometimes perfectly healthy patients with lasting physical and cognitive damage.
The intention was to help to reduce the number in the asylums, but that, you know, because of
do you
the
know
severe
what his,
overcrowding
method was called
ice pick.
Okay. Ice pick.
Yeah, that's what I was getting. Yeah.
Which involved slipping a thin, pointy rod-like an ice pick into the patient's eye socket and using a hammer to force it to sever the connective tissue in the brain's prefrontal cortex, resulting in a number of deaths. Mm.
They thought they would relieve the pressure of whatever's causing their, you know.
I thought you were going to say hook, line, and sinker, but. And
release the demon.
Gosh, that's awful.
Yeah, so Walter Freeman was a horrible person.
Yes.
And I'm going on record saying that. And I've listened to many podcasts talk about Walter Freeman and the ice pick lobotomy method. He made it like a traveling circus. He would go everywhere around the nation and do these, and he would do them for like $25-$50. But back then, that's all, you know, and he made a killing, you know,
literally. Yeah.
Hey.
Even if you live, you're
horrible person.
Might as well have been dead.
But I listened to, I cannot remember the name of the podcast, but she was a retired nurse. And so her podcast was around medical stories, you know, that went wrong, or, you know, they were crazy. And she actually interviewed a guy that got an ice pick lobotomy from Dr. Freeman when he was a kid, and how he was institutionalized and didn't know who in the heck he was. I mean, now he's in his 70s, you know, or maybe late 70s. But, you know, so he's got his cognitive, he knows what's going on, he can function. Mm-hmm. But it took him a long time to recoup from that. You know, but it's a horrible story. I mean, it's interesting and fascinating, but it was just like so heartbreaking because he was like grade school age, like, you know, 9, 10 when he had that done. Yeah. It's like, or 12, you know, and his parents didn't know any better. They were hoodwinked, thinking that's, they didn't do it to torture him or to be mean to him.
Your mental health.
Yes. Dr. Freeman thought, oh, no, we'll take care of it. And he goes, I was a zombie. Like, it was very interesting, you know.
By the time the asylum closed, only one part of its grounds had been expanded to accommodate the next demand, or the new demand, the graveyard.
Ooh.
Da, da, da.
Those darn graveyards get you every time.
They do.
There's always a graveyard.
I thought this was really sad. We talk about the treatment of the psychiatric patients. Excuse me if I can say that. It says in the 80s, the hospital had a reduced population due to changes in the treatment of mental illness. Those patients who could not be controlled were often locked in cages. In February of 86, the then government Arch Moore announced plans to build a new psychiatric facility elsewhere in the state and convert Weston Hospital to a prison. Ultimately, the new facility, it's called the William R. Sharpay Jr. Hospital, was built in Weston, and the old Weston State Hospital was simply closed. It says in 1999, all four of the floors of the interior of the building were damaged by several city and county police officers playing paintball in it.
Oh, gosh.
Three of whom were dismissed after the incident.
Nice.
I kind of love that a little
real,
bit.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I kind of think that would be a little bit fun, but I know it's disrespectful totally, but
no, I mean, you know, kind of. Yeah, I mean, if you're being honest, right?
I know, it just sounds fun. I have done it. We used to do paintball in like old abandoned warehouses, so what was called Dark Armies. Mm-hmm. You remember that? Oh, gosh, that was fun.
A lot of the patient rooms, did you see that they were painted in pastel colors?
Yes.
Which was obviously, you know, so this room. Oh, what, seafoam green or whatever that is?
Ugh.
Says the pastel hue. I know, it's that's totally 90s there. The pastel hues of patient rooms is a true paradox to the darkness that patients experience within them. And it's kind of like worse. Like, I would rather have, you know what I mean? Because it's kind of like making fun of, I don't know. Maybe they thought, okay, let's do bright rooms and it might cheer them up and it might help them. But I don't know. It adds a more creepiness factor to me. You know, having a pink or a sea foam or whatever. Just weird. I don't know. To me, it looks creepy. Yeah. I don't know.
It says you can see the Appalachian Hills, you know, kind of in the distance of it, too. Kind of interesting backdrop and beautiful area there.
Did you see the video? I only watched a few minutes of it, but I thought it was going to be interesting. Thought it was going to be interesting, so I watched it. The guy, he goes, I know nothing about this. He goes, all I know is it's an old, beautiful facility that, you know, housed, you know, the mentally ill. He goes, but he had a drone, and he was operating a drone that's flying over the campus. Oh, my gosh. You know, and it was in the fall. Trees are, you know, the yellows and the reds and then the mountains and just but the buildings are beautiful. I thought that was so cool. All his 30-minute video was just going over, flying this drone over
that
the
area.
Campus. Yeah.
Huh.
So... Yeah, I watched it.
I didn't get to see that. Just,
yeah,
that's cool though.
Yeah, yeah. But there was no information whatsoever.
They were just fun.
He was like, "Nah, we're flying over it." Yeah,
just for fun.
Yeah,
I don't know what this place is.
He goes. If you want information, just Google it. That's what he said. But it was kind of a different take. But yeah, going back to Dr. Kilbride, Did I say that right? Kirkbride. Sorry.
Kirkbride. Yeah, I was going
to say. Kirkbride.
No, Kilbride sounds right.
Yeah. Gosh, I knew I'd said that.
More ominous.
I caught myself, at least.
No, that's good.
He is saying that he letting the patients roam by themselves and get that breeze and that, you know, and kind of, he said that that cured them. That automatically, you know, a lot of his patients went, no, it didn't. I mean, what,
you know? Like, it's not going to cure, I mean, tuberculosis.
It might help, but it's not going to cure mental, you know, if they're truly mentally, you know, unstable for whatever. That just a breeze and walking around is not going to cure. But then again, then they're doing,
body's
he's got
move.
That knucklehead Freeman coming in and doing ice pick lobotomies. You know what I mean? So it's like one extreme to the other.
It's so, and it, I know, but like, I don't know. You like to think that back then they just saw things differently, or they didn't know enough to you know, and they were trying to do good. You want to believe that. But now we look at them and we're like, what in the world was wrong with these people, these sadistic monsters? But who knows what their thought processes were. But like you said, I think it's pretty clear that he was something or other. Yeah, I'm not I won't say nice things about him either, so I'm not going
to
say much.
Well,
so.
A lot of these places, they initially start out with the right reasons to do what they're doing.
You like think so.
And then, like they said, it just spirals out of control, and they take on more patients, and they don't add staffing or the staff. They're like, just overwhelmed.
Yeah, so they have to react instead of, you know, be proactive.
Correct,
Or thinking logically. Sometimes they're just thinking
and
with.
They just take on more than what they can chew. And it's just, you know, so just, it goes bad real fast. And I think this is just another
example
location, another example. They said that, let me kind of spill into this little statement. So he said, Dr. Kirkbride believed that giving patients more freedom was essential to their healing and that soon they would even be cured of their illness. So it says some of the patients remember fond memories though of the asylum. The asylum truly used to live up to the name. So this is a former patient of the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. They are quoted saying, I remember the Thanksgiving thing was great. We had great turkeys, and the Christmas thing was wonderful. It was like a fairy tale atmosphere. It's like, I must be in heaven. I'm not in a nut house. I'm in heaven. So, okay, that's kind of nice. But then, yeah, it wasn't heaven.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it.
You know, yeah, but it's an interesting take. At one point, or at some point, this person thought it was awesome. Yeah. This Christmas thing, though, I think that's funny. The Thanksgiving thing and the Christmas thing.
You know. I think it's just like we have said with a lot of other places, but this place gets a notoriety for being one of the most haunted hospitals. And I really do believe it's just like Waverly.
Yeah.
It's got a reputation, and there's some good reasoning for it being haunted. It does. They do have daytime tours for $35 and a two-hour nighttime tour for $40. The most intense option that you can get is the 9 p.m. to a 5 a.m. hunt, and it's $100. This article was from 2018, so it might be a little different now, but that's still pretty reasonable.
Oh, yeah. And I heard you get a bonus ice pick lobotomy.
Feeling good about yourself? We'll see about that, right?
All right, who's next? gosh, what a horrible procedure. It does, though. It has. This
don't know if it's haunted. Nobody can remember.
No. What? I just remember the turkey thing. The Christmas thing was great. It does have a lot of history. I find this place just loaded with stories and the history and what went on. Some good, a lot bad, and then you get to the creepy ghost stuff.
Right.
Now I will say, to add on to the horrible stuff, they said that one thing that obviously got out of control, and just because of the, you know, people are what. Sean, did you? One of the episodes in the past, didn't you say that, I'm trying to think of the episode topic, but you're saying like, you know, nurses and doctors and you know, orderlies, they start out, they get so overwhelmed, they get so dragged down that they start doing stuff that they normally would not have. I'm trying to think what that was. And because it leads to my point.
Yeah,
do you remember you saying something like that? Like
it's I think that's a form of burnout too.
Like
you
a
know,
burnout.
We've talked about. It is. And then they do, because like you just said, you have that Hippocratic oath of do no harm. That's the whole point of being in medicine. But if you get enough stress, physical, emotional, and you're pulled down, it is very easy. And there's actually where I'm working at now at Hendrix, we talk about that, like, get help before you get to that point, because you don't want to, you're not allowed, you're not supposed to emotionally abuse a patient or physically abuse a patient.
Sure.
But there's studies done on how easy it is to do it, especially out, you know, through COVID and all those kind of things. But throughout history, there have been these, you know, they're glaring examples of where people fell apart trying to be the caregivers, you know. And it's just like, you know, say you're a caregiver for one person, say it's your spouse or your parent or whatever. It's, you can start having these thoughts of, I want to kill him, you know, or I want him to die.
Because you're lashing out.
And you're just, you're tired, you're worn down yourself, you're not taking good care of yourself. So caregivers, that can happen.
Well, that happens a lot in retirement centers, you know, and old,
that's where the
old folks' homes.
Abuse can happen. And again, like this, you know, you don't want to think of those things, but it can absolutely can happen.
I don't think a lot of them, I think most of them don't go into those situations with the mentality of going, hey, I'm going to get a job at a retirement center or a hospital or a doc, you know, to abuse people.
Mm-hmm.
But some, I think some, there are psychopaths, some people that would do that. But I think the majority don't go into it with that attitude, but then it kind of turns, like you said, if they don't get themselves help, or they don't realize what's coming, then they just lose control and they don't think right.
For me, and I can say this personally, is that burnout's a real thing, number one. I have kind of struggled with it recently myself. But the funny thing is, I don't find myself turning against the patients. I normally turn, for me, it's against the processes, you know, of the medical field and the way that it operates. That's what probably I lash out more. I find my rejuvenation with the patients. Now, are there difficult patients and patients that can kind of test your bounds a little bit, and they're impatient and they're frustrated. But a lot of times if you get to the heart of what's causing them their frustration, you can break through and find that, you know, help them, truly help them, or at least calm them.
Mm-hmm.
I find though that helps me with my burnout in the sense of, it just rejuvenates me, you know, like my goal, almost every single patient I've had for years now, has been to make them smile or laugh as appropriate. Not everybody's ready for that or needing that at the moment. They just don't feel like it. But a lot of times I can normally find a way to get them to feel at least a little bit better.
Right.
And if I can't do anything else, I send them either a silent blessing or I say it out loud.
Yeah.
God bless you, be well, whatever, you know, and that's what, so, but to answer your question, absolutely. People can fall apart. And again, it's not something, I don't think most people are intending to do that, but absolutely, it's just in human nature.
Their home life. I mean, gosh.
Yeah.
You
know? You're absolutely correct.
And what's on their, what's on their plate that they have to accomplish. But it said a lot of things that, a lot of the patients were, I hate to say it, but, raped, you know, sexually assaulted, violently attacked, you know, by staff. And it said that a lot of the women staff were not immune to it either. A lot of them got raped and abused by other staffers. And that's just, that's when it starts really getting dark.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing is too.
And murdered. There was a lot of murders going on. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of murders went on.
You get into the, again, it's human nature, and it's a darker side of human nature, but it is I have power over you. And whether that's the staff over the patients, you're right. Sometimes patients over patients or staff over staff.
Yeah, levels.
It can all be levels. And it is, if there's not oversight or things are getting in and out of control over, you know, people are overworked, overstaffed or understaffed and overcrowded. Goodness sakes. I mean, it's just a powder keg for asking for trouble. So,
yeah. So
and a lot of that energy can get stuck. We've talked about that, and that's probably what happened here.
Yeah. So, I mean, these weren't just deaths of like, oh, well, you know, we lost a patient or from medical care or, I mean, it was, got murdered. Patients murdering patients, staff murdering patients, and staff murdering staff, plus the horrible sexual assault and other violence, you know.
I know we can talk about some of these, but I like some of the highlights anyway of the better known spirits include a little girl named Lily.
Yeah, let's get into the Honda stuff.
Yeah, here we go.
I'm ready.
So I'll
start it off.
Little girl named Lily. The symbols.
Number one. That's
perfect. Little girl named Lily, who was born in the asylum. A man named Jesse, who died of a heart attack in a bathtub. There are Civil War soldiers there. And a patient who was brutally murdered by his roommates. It says on each floor, there's different stories, and some of them honestly are really great stories. There's like, you know, because there are people taking care of people here, and there are wonderful things happening here too, amongst all the dark stuff. And they said that just with it having 13 buildings and 666, right? I was trying for that joke. Square acres, that's a lot of, it's vast area to cover. So there's definitely a lot of, there's a lot of ghosts and spirits wandering around.
Yeah. Yes, there are. Mm-hmm. Nate, you got any?
I have an account of someone that inspected there. She said that they set up in a room allegedly haunted by a spirit named Jim James.
Oh, I saw that one, yeah.
Jim James.
Yep.
Jimmy Jim.
Two first names.
Yeah, never trust anybody with two first names.
They place a mag light on the floor and asked Jim to turn it on. The light was the other girl's, but I inspected it to make, to make sure it was totally ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
A few beats passed, then it came on by itself.
Oh.
I offered Jim a cigarette to turn it back off. It went dark. They tried the flashlight again and again in the room where Lily supposedly plays, in a pitch black corner once reserved for a violent woman in a lobotomy recovery area, without luck. So they tried it in those different areas and it didn't work in any of those, but it did in Jim James' room.
Jim James' room.
Yep.
Okay. Jimmy Jim.
I'd like to see that happen.
They said that little girl.
That would be wild.
That little girl, Lily, still plays, and they said that there was Jack Osborne. Did you watch the video with Jack Osborne?
I did. Yeah, yeah.
And him, and they had that, like, it was a piece of artwork that was kind of creepy.
Yeah, head.
The head, and they were trying to get Lily to come out and play.
Right.
And she was setting off indicators and making her presence known. And then they brought that out and, like, nothing. They're like, oh, we didn't mean to scare you. And then when they took it away, she came back on there. So.
Yeah, because one of the patients made it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was
so they thought,
and so like, no, don't come.
Yeah, do you know the patient who made this? And
yeah.
She's like, oh,
I don't mess with him.
Sure did. I'm out of here.
So here's a story, a little haunting story, called The Back Room. It says, in a room toward the back end of one wing, a patient was murdered by two others. They attempted to hang him, but when they failed, they placed his head under a bed frame and jumped on it until the bed frame touched the floor. Okay. that's gross. Other patients were also murdered in cold blood by their peers as overcrowding, as we said, mental illness and poor care became a lethal combination for aggression. This room is known for its cold spots and quiet cries, which is said to be Dean, the man who was murdered in this room. That's horrible. Mm. That's brutal. I mean, there's some brutal ways to go, and that's one of the worst ones I've heard. Wow. I just say, just hang me, man. Don't smash my head. Oh.
It was designed to be fully sustainable, too, which I think is admirable. They had a working farm, a dairy, waterworks, gas well, and then we talked about the cemetery so that it could, some people were born there, and then obviously people are going to die there, too. So it was interesting that they
were, these places
it was
did.
A state-of-the-art facility, and it was obviously, like we've talked about, good intentions behind it. It wasn't supposed to be this horrifying place, where energy and ghosts and spirits would get stuck. But
asylums and prisons back then were their idea was to be self-sustaining, where they would have have their own dairy and animals and plants and grow their own food and stuff like that, and it was all patient ran or prisoner run, and they had to make their own food, and then it just like I said, I think because it's self-sustaining, it gives them a purpose and help. You've already got the prisoners or the patients to kind of give them something to do and accomplish, and then it, obviously they can eat, and then it just goes to hell.
At its worst, and before it was shut down as a mental hospital, they found patients sleeping on the floor in freezing rooms, and they didn't have furniture and didn't have heat. They were being treated like animals, caged. I mean,
that's the part that reminded me of Waverly when we were told, like in the, what was it, the fifth or fourth?
Fourth and fifth.
How they were treated, and then they found them by, the inspector or somebody.
Chained
was
to the bed.
Yeah, and their feces.
Some of them dead. And,
and just horrendous. That is horrendous. That's an awful way to live.
Yeah, like you, or to exist. Yeah, like you said earlier, though, I mean, it's they start off in good intentions, but then they find out their program doesn't work. So then they just, like, reach out and grasp all these new ideas of, like, mm-hmm. what can we do to fix these people?
Yeah.
You know? And so then the lobotomies start coming, and electroshock therapy starts coming.
Oh, yeah.
And,
the electroshock.
All sorts of different things, just trying to fix them.
Well, they have everything from orbs here. They have shadow people. That's the shadow people come in a lot of these horrible,
They do.
You know, desperate, these places that are full of desperation. But they also have, just like Waverly, toys and bowls and things like that set around for the children to play with. And so you've got ghost children. And of course, that always tugs at our heartstrings. But it's amazing what is still there, and spirits that are just stuck with their energy there. I think that is the most, like, that is, if you're going to spend an eternity, I wouldn't think you'd want to spend it somewhere there. You know what I mean? And a lot of times they're either, you know, they've had some of the happiest parts of their life there, or they had absolutely terrifying lives and ends, you know, and for whatever reason they're there, especially in the darkness. It just gives it that, like I said, these pictures. I would love to go there, by the way. I know we're going to, it's on the list. I got it written over, down over here. But it is, these photos just gives me that Waverly feel.
Yeah. And it's so much bigger.
And I know, like, with Waverly, I mean, they tried to cure some of those patients by what was it, they'd flay them open and
there's like a 5% chance
remove
of survival.
Ribs to give their lungs more room to breathe. I mean, only today that's absolutely ludicrous. It's
barbaric.
But at that time, they're like, well,
they're going to die anyway.
Yeah, well, it seems like it might help. They need more air, so they need to expand their lungs more. So let's remove some of their ribs.
Yeah, they weren't doing it to torture them or to kill them. They were thinking they were,
Which, I mean, I'm sure that was sort of the outlook of lobotomies, too, but.
Yeah.
But like anything, I mean, if it's new, you don't have long-term research of,
you don't
does this really
patient.
Help?
Yeah, you don't want to be on the first part of the list there to be the guinea pig. Yeah,
let's ice pick your brain and then let's see what happens.
Doc, how's this procedure gone before? Oh no, you're the first one. Oh, okay.
He can't talk anymore, but man, he can play the piano.
Wow. Okay. <Uh-oh>.
Tickle those ivories, right? I think they said even from the paranormal aspect, which I know is fascinating, the historic part of this, and as I hit my boom over here, that's what's really interesting too. And it just gives this full bodied, view of this place. And like I said, the videos that we posted today for this episode is just, they're creepy and some of them are so nostalgic, and it's spine tingling, isn't it?
Spine tingling.
Spine tingling.
Man, we better use that one. You pulled that one out.
Yeah. You like that?
I mean, part of the whole experience of the whole thing, not only, do you have paranormal events, but it's like, I mean, the buildings themselves are part of it, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think I gurgled.
No, that's me.
Was that you?
You again.
I think
that's two.
Okay, that was Nate.
We're keeping score.
Sorry.
Nate's winning.
Let's see here. So I got a couple. We can wrap this up soon here. But here's another creepy story. It says asylum staff were empowered to send their patients into isolation if they were deemed uncontrollable. And before I go ahead on this story, I guarantee they use that all the time. Oh, yeah, they're uncontrollable. You know what I mean? I bet they use that. Number two. That's number two.
You were on a roll over there, Nate. He's making all kinds of noises.
I normally move it.
This, of course, was up to the discretion of staff that was already irritated and overworked. Isolation was so terrible that patients would do just about anything to get out of it. One story in particular is especially surprising. A former boxer who suffered from head injuries, that's weird, during his career that left him violent and emotionless, attempted to beat down the metal door that isolated him. He ended up ripping the door off its hinges, leaving visible dents in the steel. When he finally got the door off, he handed it to one of the nurses and calmly returned to his room. The rooms used most for isolation tended to have violent energies attached to them, with visitors reporting being pushed or scratched, as well as disembodied voices saying, get me out of here.
Oh, man.
What's his nickname? Ding Ding.
Ding Ding.
Ding Ding.
Ding Ding. Ding
Ding. Oh.
Ding Bat.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Fight until the bell.
So I think just in all this talk, Nate, and you know, if we're going to work on a treatment plan for him, he needs to get up and walk around, or we're going to have to put him in a cage. Otherwise, this gurgling and coughing, yeah, and
feral monkey
symbol hitting over there is never going to stop.
Oh my gosh!
There's a guy that's a paranormal investigator that spent some time there, and he says, "I know it sounds weird, but the energy of Trans Allegheny is just odd, and I think because there's so much between all the lobotomies and the treatments they did there, there's a weird energy, and you could say it's the lead paint, but I don't think that's all it is. I mean, you go into the women's ward, and it's just eerie. You can feel it. I had goosebumps all night, which I hadn't gotten in a while. The women's ward was really cool and with the seclusion cells, so they had seclusion cells, and they are pretty creepy. But just walking around the place alone at night would probably do that to most people. But he just said it's just, you can feel that in the energy, mm-hmm, in the air was, mm-hmm, just odd.
Oh yeah, yeah. I read a few of these reviews. I have a couple of them. This one is from October 2022. I thought, wow, that's pretty recent. Walls do talk. It says the building itself is beautiful. It makes the history of the behind it sadder though. We took the paranormal tour, and it is intriguing to see the pictures, hear the stories of the people who passed through, those that passed on, and what they left behind. We had a couple of experiences, a child screaming for help, a door slamming, and the tour guide's accounts of her own encounters made the time we spent there go so quickly. I would recommend this or any tour of the building to anyone. So I thought, okay, that's a good one. And then this, they have a Facebook group, the Trans Allegheny, and I joined it tonight. I thought, you know, past this episode, I'd like to read some more stories of people visiting or whatever, mm-hmm, you know. So I found this story. She put it on the Facebook group, so I'm going to throw her name out there just to give her credit. Amanda Edgar. This is just a day ago. She says, so this past Saturday on October 15th, I did an overnight tour of the main building with my 16-year-old daughter, my BFF, and her daughter. We were in group two on the second floor, our first floor of the night, and we were in the bathroom where the spirit of Ben is said to be, the spirit of Ben is said to be where, okay, I'm going to have to figure out how she's writing this. The spirit of Ben is said to be, we were using the REM pod, okay, getting great results. All of a sudden, the REM pod stops, and all four of us hear something metal fall and hit the ground. We, of course, react with some words and start looking around to see what the noise was. Well, we found my daughter's necklace that just happened to contain my mother's ashes in them tossed across the room. She was so startled, she was visibly upset and had tears running down her face. So I know it definitely wasn't some kind of trick she was trying to pull. I will post my TikTok video about it and look for comments. That's creepy.
It is creepy. Wow.
And I bet her daughter did crap. Oh, yeah. And scream. Yeah. So
check, please.
Yeah, we're gone. Yeah, we're out. So very interesting.
I was going to say,
I like reading those stories.
With those long, we talked about how the hallways were so long and open.
Oh, yeah.
They said it's super echoey. So at night when you're walking around there with very little light, it's just that also adds to the creep factor too. Yeah. So you can imagine Waverly, it had a little bit of echoiness to it, but
being outside, like, having the door, it didn't.
But this place would be pretty wild.
Yeah, I think that would magnify the creepiness. Yeah, you're right.
And I was just happened to get a flash on my phone here, a message. I was talking off air about a girl I work with. Her name is Megan O'Donnell. I'm going to go ahead and this is an additional shout out. But she said, I had talked to her about our podcast today.
We did a shout out to Megan.
We have not. No, because I just know we were talking about.
When they're on Megan?
Not this one. And it was when we were talking off air about Megan. I had shared our podcast with her today during a little meeting she and I had. And she just put on our group. She joined it, by the way. And she said, started listening to number 44. And so I said, outstanding, enjoy. So thank you, Megan.
Which episode is that?
I have no clue.
Sean, you're supposed to have these memorized.
I have no clue.
He did at one point.
Isn't that awful?
it's getting, that's good, though.
That's, you know, I can say that's one of our best because at some point it was our best. I can't remember how I'd say, "Oh gosh, that was great."
My mom,
but
asked
this
me
one's
yesterday.
Even better, and this one's better. So
yeah,
I'm gonna find out real quick though.
Took my mom to the to get her Prolia shot for her just a maintenance for osteoporosis. One, sorry. To interrupt,
oh no,
I just want to say this is funny about that. And so she goes, "Hey, I got caught up." She was just a couple behind. She goes, "Now what?" And so she was like, "Oh, they're really good." Da, da, da. And then she goes, "Now what was the one before that?" And so it's only like two episodes ago. I go, "Mom, I can't remember. I cannot remember." It's just an episode ago. I said, "I can't remember." Yeah. I said, "What did we just do?"
Yeah. I was really good until it's like, it's too hard to remember now.
It is. It's
and
hard.
I mean, so I was going to joke and say it was Stonehenge. It's not.
Oh, yes.
I was going to be like, if it's Stonehenge, I'm going to laugh hysterically. I love that one. It's Bermuda Triangle. She looked over him. She was looking at him. She's like, "Oh my gosh, this looks great." So she said, "I'm going to start listening to him, you know, from the beginning." And I warned her. Number one is
go backwards.
I told her use it. I said either go backwards or do a buffet style. Pick out something you like.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Funny. Oh, I see what she meant. She put an exclamation with a triangle, so she meant the Bermuda Triangle. That makes sense now.
Okay.
Sorry, Megan. Clever. I wasn't keeping
Megan,
up with your. See, she's a lot stealthier than I am. She's witty. I didn't catch on. So
I
should have been able to figure that out from her clue.
I'm not. You know what? She knows we're recording. She's trying to get that live shout out. I know what she's doing.
She's stealthy.
Now, she is. Stealthy.
I know these episodes like the back of my hand, but oh my gosh, I didn't know that was there. Look at that hair. That was there. That vein. Who knew that vein did that?
So anyway.
thanks,
Megan, for listening and joining the group.
Yeah.
That's excellent. So
she's bound to become our number one listener next to Carol.
No, nobody's. No. My mom's.
Christine.
Christine. They're top five.
And Dave.
Yeah, Dave. All right. He's been super fan. So let me go around the table here. We're in, right? For Trans Allegheny.
Totally.
Overnight stay?
Oh,
I mean, like we've done for way.
Are we talking alone or the three of us? The three of us is always a yes. I'll go to the gates of hell with you two.
I don't think I'll go to the gates of hell. But
By the way, I scheduled us to go to the gates of hell next
yeah,
weekend.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. Sorry.
That's in Kokomo, Indiana. Oh, sorry. Just kidding, Kokomo. No.
I thought that was the Bronx
that's
in New York.
Fire.
That's where,
where the Yankees are.
The fires of hell.
Where you work, right?
Yeah.
Shout out to Pete Peterson.
That's right.
Oh, the Yankees. I don't even know if they
won.
Man,
we are full of it tonight.
Yeah, I love this place. I would love to check it out.
For sure. And,
we'll have to look, see
a
how
a lot of cardio, though,
away.
Yeah.
Can't be that far away.
Lots of walking.
No. Lots of walking.
Walking.
Christopher walking.
All right. Jean-Wing.
Yeah, Jean-Wing. I'm out. I don't have any more to talk about.
That was fun. That was good stuff. I enjoyed that.
I'm pretty proud of this episode, and I know Creepy hasn't listened to it yet because we haven't dropped it. But I'm proud.
I thought this was practice. Were we recording? I thought this was practice.
Now Nate hit the record.
Hit the record.
All right, let's do this again.
Hey, Creepies, welcome to.
Dang it! I gotta be more on top of this stuff.
Well, I think that was fun. So
yeah.
Let's
good choice.
Thank you. Now let's pass it on to your segment there.
I'm gonna go ahead and go. I really thought about this because I was going to go dark side, this place being so dark with its history. But I decided...
A little bit.
Well, what made me... Actually, while we're discussing, I was still trying to decide what I wanted to do. I'm going to do Middle Age Moment. This is a song that goes back to... We already had our heart-to-heart talk about mental health and the community and everything. But I think this fits perfectly with what we've been talking about. What we go through, us personally, our families, friends, and creepies out there. So I'm going to go with a song by, I think it's Ripe, R-I-P-E with a little like, tilde or whatever, and it is, Settling. Have you guys heard it before?
Not by the name of it.
Okay. It's a great song. Go listen to it, please. It's the words go, you get mad, when you get told to watch your tone. Yeah, you get angry, but you hold your breath while you count down and not be angry. Easier to bite your tongue every time that you behave, every time you play it safe. You can feel it getting harder. Still, you're waiting for things to get better, but you're not sure if it's now or never, or it's never. It's never been done before. You might be kind of frightening, but waiting for things to get better feels a lot like settling. You're still trying, but maybe if you let go and just stop trying, finally say what's on your mind, to hell with timing. It's easier to bite your tongue every time you behave, every time you play it safe. You can feel it getting harder. Still, you're waiting for things to get better, when you're not sure if it's now or never, It's never been done before. It might be kind of frightening, but waiting for things to get better feels a lot like settling. It says, it just goes on with that. That when you listen to it, it's actually really well put together. But those words really hit you. And I've been going through some changes in my life. One of my things is I don't ever want to settle. I don't want to settle my relationship. I don't want to settle in how I spend time with my children. I don't want to spend time with what I do for work. I don't want to settle when I come here. And sometimes in life you do to a degree, but I don't want to get to the end of my life and like, yeah, I kind of just acquiesced and I made do and I settled. Well, no, I don't want to do that. No, and that's all, in this podcast, I'm so proud of us because we just march along. We do a little bit more and we don't settle for anything less than what's our best. Now, can we always improve? Sure. We've talked about that recently, the three of us, that we can always improve, but we know that we are out there not settling. We are moving forward and we're making our own trail. You know what I mean? So I'm telling people out there, don't, if you feel like you're settling in your life, try something different, try something new, pick yourself up, dust yourself off. Mm-hmm. That's true. What we did, and that's how we are where we're at, because we took a chance, we didn't settle, we took a leap of faith, we surrounded each other with good friends, with the three of us, and here we are. So don't settle. As Nate has ever, he got out of that cage, darn it.
Sometimes settling is not starting, you know what I mean? Like, right? Don't settle. You're right. I like that. Because that sometimes it's a detriment, because I'm like, I can never find, it's the same as settling. I'm trying to think of the word. Sometimes I need to be content, but I'm never content. And sometimes it could be bad.
I hear you.
But
it's also a drive. It's a drive, right?
It's just a, yeah. And, but no, all in all, I think if you're too content, then it's, or if you are, that's fine in some things, but at least find another challenge or something to go past that. You can be content, whatever.
I've been describing it as
don't just sit there on that.
I've been feeling like at times, like a donkey in the middle of the road. I don't want to go. I'm kind of over it. That kind of feeling. Yep. And then but luckily, and all three of us are this, we're not quitters. We're not like, I'm done here. I'm not going to do anymore. Maybe we are for a while. I know I've been there, but it's like, you got to get back. It's like the phoenix. You got to rise from those ashes. You got to get back at it, and we're trying. What I want to do with this is say, get out there. Don't give up. Whatever you do, please don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't settle.
Don't settle. Don't
have
give
some
up.
Fun. Like, make this fun. This is what we're doing. We're having fun. No, it marches on, doesn't it?
Yep. There's a song that's
time marches on.
Shout out to Metallica. Maybe they'll sponsor us.
I have to say, this is what makes me think of this is, and I'm a Joe Rogan fan, so I'm going to say it.
I've never known that.
I know.
Never it's said that only
like
87
the Beatles
times.
And Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford. Yeah, well. But I'm throwing them all out there today. So Joe Rogan always talks about fighting your inner, and I'm going to just say it, your inner bitch. Just like that little voice and say, like, just stop. You're not good enough. You're never going to do it. Why are you trying to work out? Why are you trying to do this? Why are you trying to be better? Why are you, that's that settling voice, let's be honest. But it's fighting that little gremlin inside of you that's always telling you to give up or give in or quit or get rid of that thing, because that's not worth listening to. It's such a small little thing inside of you, too. You can just squelch it and move on. I know it's easier said than done. A lot of times I have struggled like no other, but when you get past it, a lot of times you're like, man, why didn't I just move forward, D.L. Mercury talked about that. Remember, he was like, if we just let go of those things, we could move forward. It just seems like...
Yeah, he was open with his struggle.
He was so open.
So he held on to so much stuff. And
shout out to D.L.
That's right. Our friend D.L. Mercury.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
I Bleed Mercury.
Love him, by the way. He's fantastic.
Go listen to his music. Check him out. You're right. No, that was I'm glad you brought that. That fit perfect with what we... Yeah, like right? So what we talked about before we... started the discussion on the...
So that dark side I was going to use, cool. I will save
I like
for another
that.
Day.
That's one of your better
Thank
ones.
You. Thanks, man. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate that.
And you're...
Checks in the mail. Okay.
Now you just got to bring home the second announcements.
I can do it. Second part of the announcements. Follow us on all major social media platforms. That's Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook.
Please.
Please. Please. Email us at makopodcast@gmail.com. That's two A's. Show ideas, just connecting with us, tell us, you know, you want to sponsor the heck out of us, right? Tuesday Terror Videos, still dropping every Tuesday. You can sponsor those now, too. $50. You can email us if you're interested. We are on all major podcast apps and listening platforms. So please subscribe to those. Give us a 5-star rating and review. And tell someone you know and that you love. And even if you don't love them, I don't care. Tell all your friends, family, and enemies.
Yeah, you don't have to love them.
Word of mouth. Yeah, right. Listen to them. All your foodies out there. Anybody that's giving, you know, not like Todd.
Foodies.
Scratch our podcast name in their paint of their car. You know,
we'll send you. We'll send you business cards. You can send them out. Leave them places. We don't care.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt.
We sell merch with our logo on it. Go get you some, right?
Sure.
We love it. Now we have backpacks, right? So, oh, those are awesome. I got to get one of those. Backpack?
Yeah.
Definitely.
So our friend, Betsy Kolakowski, who was on the show a few months ago, she ordered one.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. So here's a quick story on that. My son, my beloved Elijah, he goes, "Hey, Daddy," he goes, "I had to cut my one of my straps on my backpack." And I go, "Yeah." The question, why did you?
I can get one of those dope.
Why would you have to cut your strap? Like, what? He goes, "Well, there's a kid that his locker's above mine. I think it's above his. Yeah." And he said he is always in a hurry. He goes a mile a minute. He goes, and he always slams hit.
Is that me. Okay. Yep. 1-2. He's still winning though.
Okay. another gurgle. And so he said his strap got.
That was me.
Hey, can I tell the story?
Sorry. Yes.
Sorry. No,
so anyway, he had to cut a strap to get his backpack because the kid closed it, locked his locker.
Oh, my gosh.
Elijah's, it was stuck, and he couldn't, yeah, and he was in a hurry, so he literally had to cut his strap, whatever. Oh, so I said, "Hey, I got a great idea. New backpack, get you a new middle-aged creeped-out backpack." He goes, and I quote, "That's never going to happen." No, I'm kidding. That's exactly, he goes, "That's never going to happen." I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "I don't want one of those." I said, I know you want the Nike or the team. You know, he goes, "Yeah." I said, it's pretty cool. He goes, "Oh, okay." But he goes, "That'll never happen." Not like, "Well, Daddy, I'd like to get this or maybe something." No, that'll never happen. That's what he said.
Hmm.
So I moved on from that. But thank you, Betsy, for ordering one.
I thought he supported us too.
He didn't care. he
was
does,
right there. That's cool.
He does. Yeah.
Does
it? Like, oh, okay. All right. We'll see if he get you on another episode, sucker. That'll never happen.
Hey, Dad, can I be on another episode?
That'll never happen.
That'll never happen.
Right. Little turd. I was. So I grabbed him and threw him down and beat him up. No. So anyway, thank you, Sean, for that wonderful second announcements.
And I didn't finish, did I? I had one more little thing. We offer segment sponsorships for only $50 per segment. Email us if you're interested.
Oh, I forgot.
So it wasn't too much more.
Yeah, forgot about that.
That's okay. I wanted to let you finish.
I'm middle-aged, and I got a, huh?
A smidge.
Schmidgen. There you go. A pinch.
Oh, Schmidt, a little pinch, yeah. That's what DL says. He goes, he talks about, like, the type of music. Like, if you like, you know, Rammstein, and you like Marilyn Manson, and you like, you know, and he said a little pinch of David Bowie. Mm-hmm. Or no, Dash of David.
Dash, there you go.
Yep. Dash of David Bowie, yeah. So, well, we are to the point in the show that Mr. Nate is going to help us out.
I feel like we're a bunch of lunatics, so we better wrap this one up. That's a wrap.
I take that personally, actually.
I don't argue with that.
I don't either, let's be honest.
You heard it, Creepies. That's a wrap. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for listening to episode number 84 and our discussion on the Trans-Allegheny Lunatic Asylum. That is a lot of words, by the way. My wife is correct.
Say that three times fast.
Yeah. And until next time, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.
Ooga!